Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking. Guys, thank you so very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Monday Night Raw post show for November 4th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York. As always, coming to you live from the OTS venue. Thank you guys so very much for joining us on your Monday evenings, wherever you may be, man. Riyadh season is finally over. Oh, my goodness, man. We don't have to see Riyadh until May when we get the King of the Ring back on PLE, man. Crown Jewel in the rearview mirror, Riyadh in the rearview mirror, and we can now look forward to the Survivor Series. Finally. Actual story, actual build, hopefully, will be taking place on WWE television, man. You know me. I hate tape shows. The way that it sounds, the way that it feels, the way that the jump cuts happen, and then they splice in random fans cheering along in the venue. And then you got Michael Cole, who I don't know if he did the show live or if he pre-recorded it or post-recorded it, I should say. A lot of it just felt low energy. A lot of it felt just kind of lazily thrown together. And it wasn't really an exciting show on Monday night. And we've all had this mentality that we just got to get through it. We got to get through it. And that's WWE's thing. They're going to go to Saudi Arabia for two times out of the year. Triple H said that the partnership is not going anywhere. They will be partners for the long-term foreseeable future. So this is something that we're going to have to just kind of, and at this point, I think we should all just kind of sit back and just get used to it. But that's not going to stop me from complaining about the fucking quality of the shows. It doesn't matter where the shows are. The shows could still be good. The shows could still be exciting. The shows still could tell story instead of being lazily thrown together just for the sake of putting on a pro wrestling show, going in and going out. This show desperately needs something, man. I don't know what it is. And I'm not really ready to submit to the show needing to be 3 hours. I'm not going to do that. The show could be 2 hours, but it could certainly use better story, and it could use more energy. It could use a little bit more creative juice in the 2 hours, which we have not been seeing as of late. A lot of that has to do with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre being off television. You take CM Punk and Drew McIntyre off of television, and things are going to get boring pretty quickly. And it goes to show you how those two made a lot of people look forward to what they were doing and the stories that they were telling. There was just a different energy when you had those talents on the show. And it goes to show you that CM Punk's energy is absolutely 100% sorely missed on this show, as is Drew McIntyre's. I don't know what they will be doing going into Survivor Series. I know CM Punk has already made his desires known about wanting the World Heavyweight Championship. I don't know if he's going to challenge Gunther at Survivor Series or Saturday night's main event. I don't know. But hopefully, CM Punk will be back very, very soon. The show needs something. And I can't wait to get Monday Night Raw in the Netflix era. I can't wait to get this show off the USA Network. I can't wait to get WWE back to doing business on Monday night, because there was a nice stretch where Monday Night Raw was doing some big business. People were excited. People were excited to be here. People were excited to watch us. I just feel like all that energy has gone down the fucking toilet. I don't know where that energy has gone. I don't know why people are just so disinterested all of a sudden. And I know that there are other things going on. Right now, it's presidential week. It's election day tomorrow. So people are probably very worried about what's to come tomorrow. And I know football is always going to be a big thing. I'm sure there's a big game on right now. But WWE isn't really lighting the world on fire right now. They may be a hot ticket. Their tickets may be the most expensive ticket in town to go watch them live. But they are really, right now, not doing anything creatively to get people excited. That's a problem. And a lot of people are always saying, oh, JD's so hard on AEW for their creative. Why isn't he as hard on WWE? I have been. I always have been. And I will continue to be hard on them. Their creative right now is not very good. We're going to need more than just the Bloodline. We're going to need more than just Randy Orton and Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes. We're going to need more than that. Outside of the Bloodline and Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, which right now, both of those stories are happening on Friday night. What's happening on Monday? What's the big hook on Monday? Does anybody know? The big hook on Monday is the storyline that's happening on Friday. The big hook on Monday is the Bloodline. Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso. That's the big hook. Like, I get it. I understand that that's the biggest storyline in the company. But what are we getting excited about on Monday? What are we getting really excited about on Monday going into Survivor Series? Liv Morgan? Liv Morgan and the World Heavyweight Championship. That's what you want me to be excited about. You know, we'll just throw all the women in a battle royal and we'll crown a number one contender for the Women's World Heavyweight Championship. That's not a story. Some of you might find that to be exciting. I, for one, do not. I think it's lazy. I don't really give a shit about Liv Morgan. We're long overdue having her drop that championship. Rhea Ripley right now is out with an injury. That's not happening anytime soon. Io Sky is now the number one contender for the Women's World Championship. I wish WWE would pull an absolute fucking shocker and have Io win the fucking Women's World Championship. Because God only knows the fucking division needs it. That's not a story. That's not a story. We need something a little bit more than that. What's the big story coming out on Monday? Damian Priest? Damian Priest and Gunther wrestling for the World Heavyweight Championship at Survivor Series. Great. Been there, done that. I don't think anybody expects Gunther to be losing the World Heavyweight Championship before WrestleMania, especially now with the Bill Goldberg rumors looming after he announced he's retiring in 2025, and he's already made promises that he's going to find Gunther. We need something a little bit more than that. There's nothing on Monday to keep your interest. There's nothing on Monday to whet your appetite. Friday has the story. Monday does not. Before, it was Monday having the story. Friday really didn't have anything because Roman was missing for 4 months. And Cody was in random matches with no real story. Everything is flip-flop now. It has nothing to do with the show being 2 hours either. Monday Night Raw can be 2 hours. But moving to Netflix, WWE's going to have a little bit more leeway in between 2 and 3 hours. They're not going to be 2 hours exactly. They're not going to be 3 hours max. It's going to be somewhere in between. They're going to use that 3 hours as a buffer, as a stop. And I can't wait for that because still to me, I'm in the mentality when I sit on my couch with my coffee on a Monday night, I still feel like I'm in preparation mode for a three-hour Monday Night Raw. And before the show is over, before everything is over, I'm still waiting for that extra hour. I'm still waiting for more. And by the time the show ends, I'm left asking, that's it? That's all we got? It almost reminds me that WWE did the same thing when they were in their last months on Fox. They didn't really put anything towards those last couple of shows, those last several shows on Fox.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
They half-assed it. I just feel like WWE took USA Network's money, NBCU's money for the remainder of the year, and they're just going to put on whatever they have to provide 2 hours of television until they get to Netflix, and then they're going to crank shit up. But that's not really fair to the fans. And granted, if you guys think this is exciting and interesting, God bless you. I do not. I think this shit is utterly fucking boring and lazy. I find nothing of interest on Monday night. Zero. Could not give a single shit about anything that's happening on Monday night. The only thing that mattered tonight was what happened with the Bloodline, and they are a part of Friday Night SmackDown. Monday night's got some serious issues. So when I say thank God they're leaving Saudi, I mean it. Thank God they're leaving Saudi. Tape shows are awful. WWE does nothing to generate interest and put on a show that we need overseas in Saudi Arabia. It's always the same thing every fucking year. It's just a show that acts like a major house show. That's all it is. They don't really forward anything. There's no real stories being developed and told. The crowd may be energetic, but if the stories aren't there, what is there to be excited about? Crowd being excited to watch pro wrestling that they never get but twice a year? Of course they're going to be excited. That doesn't mean I don't think those people shouldn't get a show either. I just don't like the way the shows come off. I think they're fucking boring. Sue me. We need more on Monday night. That's the whole gist of my opening rant here. We need more. We're not getting anything on Monday for the last several weeks. We're not getting anything on Wednesday because Tony Khan's fucking clueless. Friday Night SmackDown has ended up the best show of the week of all three major shows. Before WWE extended with USA Network, Friday Night SmackDown was the worst of the three shows. When Raw was at 3 hours, they were the best show. Everything is flip-flop now in WWE. We need something more. Damian Priest. He was in the main event with Seth Rollins, Sheamus, and Dominic Mysterio. Fatal 4-Way, number one contendership for Gunther's World Heavyweight Championship. Won by Damian Priest, who will now, I suppose, challenge Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship at Survivor Series. Bronson Reed. He destroyed everybody in the match and then targeted Seth Rollins. He lost to Seth Rollins at Crown Jewel on Saturday afternoon in a decision that I understood, but at the same time, I did not like. I'm assuming we're going to get a second match. When and where, I don't know. It may be Survivor Series for all I know. WWE may actually end up doing something a little cool. We may end up getting a 4-on-4 Survivor Series, traditional Survivor Series match with both of them on opposing teams. We don't really know yet. But yes, Bronson Reed lost. I understood it. And it played a major factor in Seth Rollins being in this match tonight, which he was a part of with Dominic Mysterio, who ended up beating Damian Priest 2 weeks ago, cheating, So he got in this match. Priest is in this match because he got screwed by Dominic in the Judgment Day, so they gave him another opportunity. And Sheamus just deserves it. He puts on banger after banger after banger, and he's won match after match after match. So, yes, he's there because he won wrestling matches and has been consistent in winning wrestling matches. But WWE doesn't really have the most exciting group of individuals ready and willing to face the World Heavyweight Champion Gunther for Monday Night Raw's biggest prize. If that is who we're left with, WWE's got some major work on Monday night to start throwing some credible contenders in front of Gunther. And now you know why Bill Goldberg is definitely in consideration for being one of those opponents for the World Heavyweight Championship in 2025. CM Punk is certainly going to factor into things when he gets back, but more than likely he's going to be building towards a match with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 41. But Damian Priest ended up winning the match. He is the new number one contender. He will get Gunther, I suppose, at Survivor Series. It is a harmless match to do at the Survivor Series where everybody will be looking for the Bloodline versus Bloodline inside the War Games match. It is an innocent enough match to do on the undercard for Survivor Series without really having it be too important and having it be too weak. It's right in the middle. Bronson Reed, like I said, took out Seth Rollins. He's more than likely going to get his rematch and hopefully his win back over Seth Rollins. And then maybe we'll get a match number three at Saturday night's main event before we move both guys on to whatever they have to do going into the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania season. So that was the main event. Priest is now the number one contender. Sami Zayn, he showed up tonight, easily the best part of the show. He had a face-to-face, heart-to-heart with Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso, which resulted in Sami Zayn and Jimmy Uso getting into a verbal argument back and forth with Jey Uso in the middle, and Jey Uso rescinding his comments from last week, saying Sami Zayn is not family, he doesn't know anything because he's not a part of the Bloodline, to this week saying that Sami Zayn is absolutely family. He may not be blood, but he is family more than anything, and he is Sami Uso. And Jey Uso has now told Sami, please come to Friday Night SmackDown and speak to the Tribal Chief on Friday. Let's all hash this out on Friday Night SmackDown. So it will be Sami Zayn, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, and Roman Reigns all sitting down together to discuss what happened at Crown Jewel, where Sami Zayn accidentally gave Roman Reigns the Helluva kick after a mistimed situation with Solo Sikoa. But he did come out and try to save Jey Uso from the Bloodline. So I thought that was a great segment. And like I said, Sami brings a level of emotion to the story and to the show that nobody else can really go out there and duplicate. And Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan is the Women's World Champion. She's also the first ever Women's Crown Jewel Champion. She had that big, fancy, gaudy, ugly ring on. And WWE is parading her around with the ring. Cody Rhodes, I'm assuming, will do the same thing on Friday night. She needs a number one contender. And she was gloating that she is the greatest women's champion of all time. She's not. Nowhere even close to that accolade as Liv Morgan. But Bianca Belair was in the building. And she had a problem with Liv Morgan calling herself the best on Monday night, when Bianca Belair herself is the longest reigning Raw Women's Champion of all time. So she's out there, and she had a problem with what Liv Morgan said. And Jade Cargill was right there behind her. And Liv Morgan tonight has started to plant the seeds that Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair eventually will not be on the same page, because Jade Cargill looks at herself at being better than everything, or over everything, compared to Bianca Belair. And WWE needed a new number one contender for the Women's Championship because Rhea Ripley is going to be out for several months with a broken orbital bone. So WWE had a battle royal to determine a new number one contender. And at the same time, WWE is planting seeds for a Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez tag team against Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair for the Women's Tag Team Championships. I don't know exactly where this is all going, but the one big thing is that WWE is slowly planting the seeds of a Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair split, which I hope comes sooner rather than later. And that was basically Monday Night Raw. That was basically Monday Night Raw in a nutshell. We'll talk about how all of this came about. We'll break everything down right here on the Monday Night Raw post show. We are live on YouTube. We are live on Twitch. Thank you guys very much for all of your supports. We, right now, on Twitch, we are 21 followers away from 11,000 followers. So if you guys are over on the YouTube side of things, and you do have a Twitch account, you might not know that I have a Twitch account. If you have not followed me on Twitch, I would really appreciate every one of you to do so. I'd love to hit 11,000 tonight. For my YouTube peeps, thank you very much, man. We got 1,500 plus in here on a Monday night. People still filing on in. Make sure you guys get those thumbs up in. Strive for 750 likes. That is the goal tonight for YouTube. 750 likes on the stream. If we can do that, I would really appreciate it. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. Make sure you guys go and check out all of the other content on the channel. There's plenty of it. Had a busy week last week. We ended the week off with the Crown Jewel post. If you guys missed that, it's on the homepage. Go and check it out. We're live tonight, obviously, on YouTube and Twitch. TNT, Tuesday Night Titans, will not be live tomorrow. The Solid Monster and I are taking the week off. We will be back next week, next Tuesday, and we should ride it out for most of the Tuesdays remaining in 2024. I think minus one because I'm doing something. But we will ride it out up until the end of the year. Our regular night, our regular time. No commercial interruptions at all. We're taking the night off tomorrow because everybody and their mother is going to be watching the election results. I probably will be doing the same thing with a nice glass of whiskey. Not that I give a shit who wins. I don't even vote. That's how much I don't give a shit. I don't give a fuck who's running for office. I don't give a shit who gets elected into the chair. I'm going to be doing the same thing I do every fucking year, man. Entertaining you, worrying about me and my own, making sure the refrigerator's stocked, the cats are fed and happy, and I'm making my fucking money. I don't give a shit. Doesn't matter who's in the office. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. It's not going to deter me from being happy. Don't let anybody, any political fucking bullshit determine who you are and how you should feel. It's all fucking garbage. Make sure you guys check out my sponsor for tonight's show, Blue Chew. BlueChew.com, code JD at checkout. Make sure you guys don't go limp like Monday Night Raw has been the last several weeks. You got to be more like SmackDown. Entertaining. Thriving. Code JD at checkout. BlueChew.com. Courtesy of the podcast. Get your free sample on me today. Code JD. BlueChew.com. Monday Night Raw opens up with the WWE Women's World Champion, Liv Morgan, and Raquel Rodriguez. She made her entrance. She's out there with Dominic Mysterio as well, Liv Morgan. She gets into the ring. She's got a microphone. She said her revenge tour is now over, and it's now time for the Liv Morgan World Tour. Oh, man, who is going to be Liv Morgan's supporting act on this world tour, man? Who are we looking at? Lamb of God? Metallica? Slipknot? Creed? Who is it? Who's going to join Liv Morgan on the Liv Morgan World Tour? She said last week she defeated Tiffany Stratton. and then took out Rhea Ripley for the third time. She said she made sure this time she'll be gone for a very, 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 very long time. She said she then traveled halfway around the globe to become the first ever women's crown jewel champion. She said she's done everything she promised and has now proven she is the greatest women's champion of all time. That is a false statement. I know. I get that she's the heel, but that is a ridiculous statement to be made. She is not the greatest women's champion of all time. Not even close. How could you be the greatest of all time after the display of match that you got on Saturday afternoon with Nia Jax? You can't. She handed the microphone to Dominic Mysterio. Fans obviously booed. Piped in boos for Dominic. Dominic was then interrupted by Jade Cargill. Cargill walked out. Bianca Belair then walked out. They walked to the ring. Liv stared at them. Belair, with a microphone, said she isn't the only one who walked out of Crown Jewel with gold. Jade asked if they want a piece of them. Here they are. Come do something about it. Liv asked why they're coming out here all angry after they were successful at Crown Jewel. Liv mockingly then told Belair that she thinks she's the best, but her partner thinks that about herself. More so, she thinks that's about herself being better than Bianca Belair. So we got Liv Morgan planting some seeds of doubt in Bianca Belair, already getting the train rolling for a Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill split. Splitsville is surely coming for the women's tag team champions. She said their friendship isn't sincere, unlike hers and Raquel Rodriguez. Belair says she sees what Liv is trying to do. So how about they have a match tonight? Liv asked Raquel her thoughts. Adam Pearce marched out and started yelling. He didn't want this thing to break down and get into a worse situation. He told them to back away from each other. He told them to back down, calm down. Liv then started egging Bianca on. Yeah, get out of my ring. Listen to the boss. You ain't gonna do nothing about it. She told Jade to watch for the knife that Belair is going to stab in your back. She taunted Belair and she told Belair she wouldn't do anything about it. Ha ha ha. Belair then slapped the ever-living shit out of Liv Morgan. She fell down. Adam Pearce started yelling for everybody to calm down. Pearce says what she did to Rhea Ripley was disgusting and there will be consequences. Consequences in the fact that you thought by taking out Rhea Ripley, you were going to be free and clear to hold that championship? No. We got a women's battle royal coming up, and that battle royal will give us a new number one contender for the women's world championship. Jade and Bianca Belair will also be in that match. And that's what opened Monday Night Raw. So, the only thing to take away from the opening segment here is that Liv Morgan has planted seeds that we've already assumed were going to be coming. We didn't know when, we still don't know when, and we don't know where that knife is going to come. That knife in the back to Bianca Belair. It could be Jade to Bianca, for all we know. I don't know. But one way or another, we're heading towards Splitsville. What you're looking at is your WrestleMania match. Jade at WrestleMania, who's her opponent going to be? Her tag team partner. Bianca Belair, who's her opponent going to be? Her tag team partner. Jade and Bianca are each other's WrestleMania opponent. This is exactly what's going on. Now, I'm not terribly excited about that because I fear for my life when I got to see Jade Cargill in a one-on-one situation with someone the likes of Bianca Belair. Bianca better have her big girl pants on because she's going to be doing a lot of carrying. She better have a nice big backpack on when she walks into Las Vegas, man. It's going to be hot. It's going to be very muggy in April. She better have that backpack on. It's going to be loaded to the gills. It's going to be so heavy, she's not going to know what to do with it, man. She's going to be backpacking all through WrestleMania season. I don't know who's going to turn on who. I could see Jade Cargill being a very good heel in WWE. I wouldn't even go that far. Very good. She wasn't even a very good heel in AEW. She may act like a better heel than she does a babyface. That's the point I want to make. She's a better heel than she would be a babyface. I feel like she's just more natural in a bad guy role. I think Jade as a babyface is very forced, very manufactured, and very fake. There's nothing to like about Jade Cargill. There's nothing redeeming about Jade Cargill. There's nothing that speaks to you as a fan where you want to go out and cheer Jade Cargill. What is it to like about Jade Cargill? What do you know about Jade Cargill that you like? I can't name one fucking thing. She's big, she's muscular, she's got a great physique. That's about the extent of Jade Cargill. Bianca Belair, I could also see her being a heel as well. Bianca was a heel at one point. For all the Gen Z fans out there that may have started watching tonight, what you may not know is that Bianca Belair was a very good heel during the NXT Black and Gold era. She was a very good heel. Are we going to get that Bianca Belair? I don't know. I look at Bianca Belair as the John Cena of the women's division. She's all over the place. She does PR. She does interviews. She's a role model and a superhero to so many little girls all across the world. I cannot see WWE just saying, you know what? Let's go and change everything about Bianca and make her a heel. I just can't see them doing that without any severe repercussions. So it might be Jade stabbing the knife in Bianca's back instead of the other way around. Though, I think Bianca Belair could absolutely use a facelift, use something to change. A heel turn would benefit her immensely. But I do think that out of the two, who would play the better heel? I would probably say Jade Cargill. I think it just fits her a little bit more naturally. And there's a lot more upside. There's a lot more equity. There's a lot more investment on Bianca Belair beating Jade Cargill when this is all said and done. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But that is definitely the direction in which they're going. And Liv Morgan planted those seeds tonight. Now, I don't know what the whole deal is with Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. I don't know where they're going with that. That just seems completely out of left field. Unless they're going to use Liv Morgan to basically facilitate the breakup. Is that where they're going? But we got the Battle Royal. Battle Royal opened the show. Liv Morgan and Raquel watched from the ringside area next to the commentary table, who was Michael Cole and Corey Graves. There was no Joe Tessitore and no Wade Barrett tonight. In this Battle Royal, we had Katana Chance, Caden Carter, Isla Dawn, Sonya Deville, Natalya, Maxine Dupree, Shayna Baszler, Ivy Nile, Zelina Vega, Lyra, Valkyria, Alba Fire. Basically all of Monday Night Raw. Nobody in this list of women, except for Lyra and Io. Io and Kairi were in there as well. I don't know why I didn't write them down. Lyra and Io were the only two women in this entire Battle Royal that were top champion contenders. So we go to commercial break after about 3 minutes of this Battle Royal. We end up, I'm not going to go over the eliminations. Nobody gives a shit. We end up with Kyrie getting eliminated. So one half of Damage Control was eliminated and EO was still involved. Jade and Bianca eliminated Shayna and Sonya, and they were yelling down at Liv. So it came down to Lyra, Valkyria, Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill. So Jade and Bianca had a stare down at each other and teased an exchange. Io and Lyra were basically down, and it was Bianca and Jade in the middle of the ring standing tall. So they had a stare down. They teased an exchange. Every woman for himself. Raquel yanked Belair by the braid and tried to eliminate her by holding on to her hair. So there's no DQs here. There's no rules. So no matter what happens here, there's nothing that anybody can do about it. So Jade came to Belair's aid. Liv Morgan then leapt onto the ring apron and pulled Bianca and Jade over the top rope. And both were eliminated. So we're down to EO and Lyra, which I believe is a rematch of the semifinals of the Queen of the Ring tournament. Fans chanted, "You suck." Belair and Jade chased Liv and Raquel away. Kyrie and Lyra, they were in the ring. They battled on the ring apron. Sky gave Lyra a German suplex on her head, and Lyra fell to the floor. Both feet hit the floor, and EO wins the Battle Royal. She's now the new number one contender for the Women's World Championship. I thought the overall Battle Royal was fucking garbage, but the winner here in EO, you can't shit and can't be upset over the fact that EO Sky is now the new number one contender for the Women's World Championship. Now, I don't know what WWE's plans are for the Survivor Series. I don't. WWE could basically do what they always do and save these matches for the go-home show in Vancouver the Monday before Saturday's Survivor Series, which I'm assuming they will, at least for the women. Now, WWE typically has a men's and a women's War Games. I don't know how WWE could make up a women's War Games match with all of these women on Monday and all of these women on Friday. It's just fucking impossible to come up with anything that people would genuinely care about. You want WWE to water down the gimmick? Then put women in the battle, but then put women in the War Games match that absolutely do not belong there and don't have a feud that warrants being inside the War Games. We can't take random people and put them in the War Games without there be some sort of development or ongoing issue, months long of an issue. We can't do it. At that point, you're just wasting the match to basically do it because you have to do it because the men have one and the women have to have one too. There's nobody on the main roster that anybody is genuinely interested in seeing inside of War Games. Zero. Don't care who that upsets. There's no major women's feud on the main roster that warrants or deserves a War Games match. I have stated, if you want to do one War Games match, the Bloodline obviously is it. We do not need a women's War Games match this year. We don't. The likelihood of that happening is very slim. But there was news today that WWE has a major announcement on Wednesday. Ava, the NXT general manager from NXT, has a major announcement that will be made at the ECW Arena, 2300 Arena on Wednesday, when NXT invades Philadelphia. What is that major announcement going to be? Well, if you look at the NXT 10-woman tag team match that we're getting, you could see what I'm about to tell you. WWE might not have a women's War Games match on the main roster, but they certainly have a women's War Games match ready and possibly waiting for them via the NXT women. Now, if you want to make a statement and you really want to showcase why the NXT women's division is the greatest women's division on the entire planet, then you go and do that and make that decision on Wednesday. Now, you take Roxanne Perez, you take Cora Jade, you take Fatal Influence, any two of those women, JC Jane, and Fallon Henley, I'm assuming, and you put them in War Games against Julia, Stephanie Vecker, Zarya, and whoever else they need to team with them at Survivor Series. Jordynne Grace showed up on NXT Tuesday. I wouldn't mind Jordynne Grace being inside a War Games match. I don't know how likely that is, but WWE could certainly do Jordynne Grace showing up at Survivor Series teaming with these women. I think that would be a great way to get everybody involved. The women's War Games match is going to happen. It's just not going to happen on the main roster. It's going to happen via NXT. That's what I think is going to happen. So we get all these women inside War Games, and I think that's exactly how it's going to play out. WWE could do something with the women on the main roster if they want to do a traditional Survivor Series match, but the fact that a War Games match needs to happen? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So we'll see what happens on Wednesday, but I do think that is exactly where we're going with that, and that is what I think WWE, if they need to do a War Games match, that's probably where they want to go. So we'll see what happens. And they do have Deadline coming up. Yes, NXT Deadline, which is their year-end pay-per-view. We could definitely see something like that. Maybe we get all those women inside the NXT Deadline match for Roxanne Perez's Women's Championship. That could also be the announcement as well. But I like the War Games announcement a lot better. So we'll see what happens on Wednesday. But Io is now the number one contender. Io and Liv. I would absolutely pull the trigger. I don't know what WWE's thinking. I don't know where they're going. I would shock everybody. Because I know everybody's like, oh, well, Liv Morgan's got to drop the title to Rhea Ripley. This is the second time this year that Rhea Ripley has been injured. I don't even know where she got injured. The only thing I can think of is the last time that she was in the ring, it might have been at Bad Blood. I'm not really sure. Might have happened at one of the random Raws following Bad Blood. It might have been, from what I went back and watched, it might have been one of Liv's Codebreakers or one of Liv's Oblivions that gave Rhea Ripley a broken orbital bone. I don't know where or when, but people are telling me that it could be a 2 or 3 month absence for Rhea Ripley. It's pretty shitty. Now, I know that Rhea Ripley is supposed to win that championship from Liv Morgan, and that's the way the story is supposed to come to an end, sure. But are we going to have Liv Morgan on Monday night holding the championship hostage until Rhea Ripley gets back healthy? I don't want that to be the WrestleMania match. I did not anticipate that being the WrestleMania match, nor should it be the WrestleMania match. I said either Saturday night's main event or Monday Night Raw Netflix debut. WrestleMania is dragging it out all the way till the end of April, Easter, to do what? Take the title off Liv when we should be taking the title off Liv now. If Rhea is not able to do it in the next 2 or 3 months, then we move on to someone else that should. The division and the belt are not going to do any good being on Liv Morgan if Rhea Ripley is going to be out for 3 months. Somebody else needs to step in. And a decision, a drastic decision, needs to be made. I would like to spice things up, to be quite honest with you. Io Sky seems like the right decision to me. New Day. They were interviewed by Kathy Kelly. Xavier Woods said, that they should have won the number one contenders match last week, and they would have if Chad Gable didn't interfere. Kingston raised his eyebrow at the comment because it wasn't Chad Gable who caused them to lose. The New Day fucked up. They got problems, and their problems continue to be major. Kingston said the War Raiders didn't win straight up, and it didn't go down the way Woods wanted. Woods and Kingston are there, and Woods said, Kingston dropped the ball because he's the one that got beat. Kofi Kingston suggested he watch the tape. Kofi Kingston gave Xavier Woods the ball to run with it and call his own plays, and Kofi would follow along. He did exactly that, and Xavier Woods blew it last week. They argued. All of a sudden, we see the feed cut to a Wyatt 6 video. Uncle Howdy and Bo Dallas. We see Miz strapped to a chair with his mouth duct taped. And he's wearing an Uncle Howdy mask. Bo Dallas removed the mask to reveal the Miz kidnapped. Looked like a scene out of Hannibal Lecter. Miz says they wanted Final Testament. I can give you Final Testament. I am not in Final Testament. You want Final Testament. Dallas, who was not dressed as Uncle Howdy, who was just there as Bo Dallas, showed his face and told Miz, no, we don't want Final Testament. You were the one we wanted. Dallas told Miz he could crawl on his belly through thorns and thistles for all the pain he has inflicted on others over the years as he begged and pleaded for mercy until he returned to the ground to become dust. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Dexter Lumis, Mercy the Buzzard, in his mask, came up from behind Miz and the feed cut out. This was some creepy shit, man. This was some creepy shit. They kidnapped the Miz. Now, I know this Wyatt 6 stuff is not for everybody, but I thought this was incredibly well done. I love the ambiance of these vignettes. I love how creepy they are. They're a lot more creepy than they are when Bray did them. I think Bo is doing an excellent job of being creepy and the way that he speaks. I mean, if you didn't really know and you didn't look, you'd think Bray is fucking speaking in these promos, how similar they sound. But I love the way that they're shot. They got this old VHS tape filter, and you start to see the screen stutter as if it's an old tape that's not really playing clear. And it's got the wavy lines through it. It's got that VHS filter, like I said, on it. It looks very retro and very old school. I thought these were incredibly well done. I think the Wyatts right now, we're all asking for them to be something a little bit more substantial on the show. But you see where Triple H has slotted them on the show. They are not an act that can be on the show every week. They're not a show or an act, rather, that's going to be on the show and wrestle like you'll see a Bronson Reed or a Seth Rollins or a Chad Gable. They're not that type of act. You're going to see them very few and far between. And when they are on TV, it is going to be special. And when they wrestle, or when Bo wrestles, it is going to be special. I would love to see them utilized a little bit more, being that we have very good pro wrestlers who comprise the Wyatt Six. They could easily go and form a tag team and get them into the tag team division instead of keeping them off TV and not really utilizing them for weeks at a time. But when they are used and we get stuff like this, it's worth it because I thought this was great. War Raiders. They went and defeated the New Day in about 9 minutes. This was very good for what it was. I love the War Raiders. I think they're great. This was a very good match in terms of Michael Cole telling the backstory of why the War Raiders are back. Cole said Eric and Ivar have talked about having to change their approach after returning to Raw and reforming the War Raiders. He went over their injuries. He went over the discs in Ivar's back. He went over the problems that Eric has had with his neck and why he needed neck surgery. And now they've come back, changed their approach, changed their style, and are ready to take over the tag team division as healthy as they could be. So Michael Cole did a very good job of telling us why they are back on Monday night. And the New Day, there's no better team than the New Day for them to beat because right now they are struggling. We got to commercial break after about 90 seconds. We come back from the break. Ivar had Xavier grounded. And like I said, Cole was talking about Ivar's history of injuries, thinking that it would have him retire, but the doctors gave him another lease on life. He said in 2014, Eric was in a motorcycle accident and needed neck surgery last year. He said as a result of that, they told him that they needed to change how they wrestle. Here's looking at you, El Hijo del Vikingo, who got away with fucking murder. I don't know if you guys seen the fan footage of Vikingo as of late, but it looked like he was going to be out for another 6 or 7 months with what I saw. He got away and God granted him another chance of changing his style. He's only going to be out for 15 or so days, according to him, after the last injury scare. Maybe he actually goes and changes his style now. I doubt it. So I did like what Michael Cole and Corey Graves did with the Viking Raiders, man. Really made them feel important. So Xavier leapt and tagged Kofi. Kofi's in the match. He went on a big-time offensive spree. Big crossbody off the top rope onto Eric, followed by an SOS for a near fall. Kofi flipped over the top rope onto Ivar at ringside after Ivar broke up the cover. Kofi went back after Eric and landed the boom drop. Every time I say boom, I think of the fucking Costco guys. We're going to bring the boom! Double chocolate chunk cookies! This fucking geek is wrestling QT Marshall at Full Gear. It's a good one, Tony. How much you paying this fucking clown? He played to the crowd. Not the Costco guy. Kofi. Xavier tagged himself in out of nowhere. Kofi had the match won. Xavier tags himself in. Slapped Kofi's back. He was setting up for trouble in paradise. Kofi looked and turned to Xavier and gave him a nasty look. Eric then hit Kofi, who was distracted by Xavier, who rolled to the floor. Eric slammed Xavier and then tagged in Ivar. And they finished them off with, what is their finish called? Thor's Hammer? What did Morrow used to call their finish? Thor's Hammer? No, their finish is not the Rizzler, okay? Nobody likes the Rizzler. Jason didn't even know who the Rizzler was. He didn't even know what the Rizzler meant. Neither did I. War Raiders win with their finish, and Trouble in Paradise continues. See what I did there? Trouble in Paradise for the New Day. This year marks 10 years of the New Day, man. Are we getting Big E? Are we getting a breakup? What are we getting? I don't know. Maybe come Survivor Series, there is no more New Day. Sami Zayn. He made his entrance. Corey Graves says he has a lot of questions to answer coming out of Crown Jewel after he gave the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, the Helluva kick. We saw a clip of Sami's role at Crown Jewel versus the Bloodline. Sami's in the ring with a microphone. He spoke to the crowd in Arabic and said he's so proud to speak in front of his people on WWE TV. He wanted to explain what happened at Crown Jewel. Jey Uso came out. He did not yeet. He did not celebrate. The crowd yeeted and celebrated along for him. He did not do anything to get people excited. He didn't wave his hands in the air. He didn't do none of that. He's out there to talk business with Sami Zayn, the honorary Oos in the bloodline. So, Jay is out there, and he thanks Sami for having his back. He told Sami, be straightforward in answering whether it was an accident when he kicked Roman Reigns in the face. Jimmy Uso then came out, and the discrepancies in theme music between the two brothers is unbelievable. Jay's got great theme music. Jimmy Uso does not. So Jimmy is out there, and Corey Graves said that Jimmy might be the only one who has seen Sami for who he is in the role he played in destroying the original bloodline. If you guys remember, it was Jimmy Uso who threw the first super kick to Sami Zayn when he blasted Roman Reigns in the back with a steel chair. Jay did not want to do it. He was the one yelling. Look at what you did, man. Look at what you did. How could you? We trusted you. Jimmy didn't want to hear anything. He turned and quickly gave Sami a super kick and knocked him the fuck out. He came into the ring and told Jay they saw Sami kick Roman in the face on purpose. Jimmy said he and the OTC are very pissed. Is Roman pissed? I don't know. Roman probably doesn't even know what the fuck was going on. He was given two Samoan spikes. So Jimmy and the OTC are pissed. You can't trust this fool. Sami was very angry at this point and says he could remind him of their background. Said Jimmy was his dog and brother who brought him into the bloodline first. He said when things started to go bad with him and Roman, Jimmy kicked him in the face. He said when things went bad with him, Jay, and Roman, he kicked Roman in the face. Then when Jay had a chance to do things on his own, he kicked Jay in the face. He says it was always Jimmy who could not be trusted. Jimmy asked Sami if he thinks he owes him an explanation. Says he's not the bad guy. Sami says he might not believe him, but he doesn't hate him. Says he never had, and he's not a bad guy, but you make bad decisions. He says he came out at Crown Jewel just to make sure Jay was okay. He says he wouldn't lie, though, because when they were all fighting side by side, it felt like old times, and it felt pretty damn special. Crowd then started to chant, Usi, Usi. Sami said it lasted 1 minute and then it all fell apart. Just like it does every single time with all four of us. He says he's not going to do it again. He says he won't have his loyalty questioned and he won't be put on trial. He said he won't go through this again. He loves them, but I can't do this again. I'm out. Sami began to leave and Jay told Sami from the ring, Sami, I'm asking you, please come to Friday Night SmackDown so all four of us can talk this out like family do. Jimmy said, family? He ain't family. Jay looked at Jimmy and said he was wrong. And he put his hand on Jimmy's shoulder. Just because he's not blood related, that don't mean he ain't family. He is family. He sees Jimmy Uso, he sees Jay Uso, and he sees Sami Uso. Sami Uso was then chanted. He says he hopes to see him Friday night at SmackDown with the rest of the bloodline. I thought this was great. This was a great segment. And like I said, when Sammy's involved, the emotion is there. And you can expect more of that and more of the same on Friday night when Sami and Roman are face-to-face. It's going to be a great segment. This is all going to end in them eventually getting back on the same page. But it's not going to be with Sammy going to SmackDown and Jay asking for Sammy to go talk to Roman, or Jay and Jimmy getting back on the same page and Roman saying yeet. There are going to be problems. Sammy is not going to be accepted by Roman Reigns on Friday night. He's not. Roman's going to be pissed. Roman's going to be pissed because he doesn't really know why Sammy's out there. And Sammy is not family. The last time Sammy was in the ring with Roman Reigns, he was vying for the Universal Championship. The last time Sami Zayn was in the ring with Roman Reigns, he had a steel chair blasted across his back because he chose his best friend over family. Roman Reigns is not going to Friday Night SmackDown to speak to Roman Reigns, and he's not going to trust Sami Zayn, not one bit. It is all going to be something of a situation that tears them even further apart. But they have one common goal. And that is to stop Solo Sikoa. And even when they do stop Solo Sikoa is not the ultimate threat. He's not. When you stop Solo Sikoa and you take back your Ulafala and you take back your bloodline, what happens next? Is the world all sunshine and rainbows for the OTC? Or is a certain Dwayne, a certain high chief, the one pulling the ultimate strings? It's not over by a long shot. War Games is going to be a closing chapter in an ever-evolving bloodline story. And there's only one person that's going to get the original bloodline back on the same page. And it ain't happening on Friday night. And we got three more weeks to build for the Survivor Series. We got seven more shows to build for Survivor Series, because you know that the Bloodline story is going to take place on Friday, and you certainly know it's going to take place on Monday, because like I said in the beginning, they don't have a fucking story where Monday Night Raw can say that's ours and that story is Friday night's. Raw don't have it. What is it on Monday? They don't have it. They have the Bloodline. The wise man is going to be the gorilla glue that ties everything together, that cohesively puts everything back together the way it needs to be. It's not happening on Friday night. But regardless, the interaction between Sammy and Roman, this is the type of television, this is the type of story, this is the type of emotion that gets us excited to watch pro wrestling. WWE announced that the Raw and SmackDown during WrestleMania season, Raw and SmackDown will be going on tour in Europe for the road to WrestleMania. They showed dates in March for Germany, Spain, Belgium, Italy, Northern Ireland, England, Scotland, Austria, and the Netherlands. Now, WWE did announce that they will be taking the road to WrestleMania to Europe before they get back to the United States and basically have most of the month of April to build for those last shows. Now, I don't know when the Elimination Chamber is going to be. WWE could certainly be building towards the Elimination Chamber. I see a lot of discourse on social media in regards to, oh no, WWE is doing all these taped shows going into WrestleMania. WWE has the Elimination Chamber. And I'm going to look that up right now. I believe that's happening in the United Kingdom, if I'm not mistaken. Elimination Chamber. I don't know if they announced it yet, but I'm assuming that the Elimination Chamber is going to be the third or fourth week of March. So WWE announced all these European shows because the Elimination Chamber is going to be taking place in the United Kingdom. Everybody was like, oh no, WWE is going to be doing tape shows on the road to WrestleMania, and the results are going to be leaked online, and there's not going to be any surprises. Well, good thing WWE is going to have a ton of shows right before WrestleMania where all of them will be live here in the United States. WWE will have things that are probably going to be shaped out for WrestleMania, but the Elimination Chamber is the reason why WWE is doing this WrestleMania tour, because the Elimination Chamber is on the road to WrestleMania. Everybody was freaking out. I don't give a shit about the Elimination Chamber. I give a shit about WrestleMania. The Elimination Chamber is just a way to get one of the championship matches determined for WrestleMania. Nothing about WrestleMania or the build to WrestleMania is going to be ruined, because after the Elimination Chamber, we still got 5 weeks to go before WrestleMania in Las Vegas. And I don't understand why people are freaking out. Sure, there will be spoilers. Don't be online. Sure, there will be spoilers. Don't go actively seeking them like I do. I didn't know what happened on tonight's show. I watched going in blind. And those crowds, Italy, Scotland, Ireland, the United Kingdom, I mean, these are going to be lively as fuck crowds. It's a win-win for WWE. Now, they're taking international to the next level. WWE usually does the European tour after WrestleMania. Looks like they sped things up to have it happen before WrestleMania. They may even go back after WrestleMania. We don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, but the Elimination Chamber is the reason why WWE's got all those blocks of shows happening in the early section of March. Nothing to be too concerned about. Moving on. Seth Rollins. He was interviewed by Jackie Redmond. And he was victorious over Bronson Reed. Seth Rollins was outside the stadium, talked about his fight against Bronson Reed, which earns him a spot in tonight's main event. Duh. He says it's his resume that earned him a spot in that match. He said Reed is as advertised. He says he gave him all he had. He got up and he asked for more. He says he and Reed will do that dance again. He said now, though, he has gold on his mind. He said three of the very best in the world and Dominic Mysterio are going to fight for a shot at the world title. And he closed with his catchphrase. He's a revolutionary. He is Seth freaking Rollins. Checking the chat here, guys. Let's see what's going on in the live stream chat. Super chats are open. Get them on in. We'll hang out at the end of the show, as always. 1,800 people in here on a Monday night for this show. Not bad. Not bad. 500 likes. 533 likes, to be exact. We need another 200 to get to the goal of 750. If you guys want to do that, I would really appreciate it. Dragon Lee. He went one-on-one with Chad Gable. This was a very good TV match. 12 minutes. Everybody's wondering what WWE is doing with Chad Gable. I can tell you exactly what WWE needs to do with Chad Gable, and that's get him the fuck off of Monday Night Raw. There was a little bit of comedy early on with Dragon Lee snapping Gable's singlet against his body. A couple of comical hijinks here. They would end up on the apron. Gable gave him a back body drop off the apron to the floor. We go to a commercial break. After the break, Dragon Lee gave, which by the way, the back body drop on the floor from Gable to Dragon Lee looked like it fucking sucked. Dragon Lee got massive air on the back body drop. So much so that Michael Cole didn't even think he was alive. Dragon Lee gave Gable a double foot stomp after the commercial break off the top rope. Gable gave him an overhead suplex into the corner. Dragon Lee super kicked Gable in the face. Gable was upside down on the middle rope. Hit a drop kick in the corner for a two. Both guys exchanged forearms until Dragon Lee hits a German suplex. Gable no-sold it. Hits a German suplex of his own. Dragon Lee no-sold it. They traded counters until Gable hit consecutive German suplexes. Chaos Theory. Dragon Lee came back with a Liger bomb. He goes for recovery, gets a two count. Gable suplex Dragon Lee off the top. Hits a cliffhanger DDT. Gable tried a cover with his feet on the rope, but Vega knocked his feet off the rope. Niall went after Vega, who has been feuding with Zelina for a little bit. Put her in a dragon sleeper. Rey Mysterio walked out to check on Vega. Gable tried to attack him and remove his mask, but Dragon Lee hit Operation Dragon for the 1-2-3. I thought this was probably the best match of the entire night, be honest with you. Gable is great. So is Dragon Lee. Both guys needed victories. But Dragon Lee has been off TV for a good chunk of the year. Chad Gable has not. He's been there almost every week, multiple segments every week. In my honest opinion, Chad Gable needed the win more than Dragon Lee did. But it looks like WWE is setting up Chad Gable versus Rey Mysterio at some point, and hopefully he gets the victory over Rey Mysterio. There's only one thing that's going to remedy American Made and remedy Chad Gable, and that's a move to Friday Night SmackDown. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know for who, but it needs to be done. I'm already envisioning Motor City Machine Guns versus the Creeds for the WWE Tag Team titles. American Made versus the Street Profits. I think that would be great. American Made versus DIY. They need more than just American Made, though, to fill that tag team division. But Chad Gable needs something. He needs something. And now that they are American Made, I would move Chad Gable to Friday Night SmackDown. And I would move Chad Gable to Friday Night SmackDown well before we get to WrestleMania season. And I would have Chad Gable, American Made Chad Gable, challenge for the United States Championship and LA Knight at WrestleMania. Where else are we going with the United States Championship? I think that would be fantastic. Chad Gable versus LA Knight. American Made Chad Gable being crowned the United States champion. I mean, there's nothing that sounds better, in my honest opinion. The guy's dead to rights on Monday. I can't remember the last time he won a meaningful match. Dragon Lee wins. Gunther. He was interviewed, and he had with him Ludwig Kaiser. Jackie Redmond asked Gunther about Cody Rhodes beating him to become Crown Jewel champion. Ludwig Kaiser took exception to the question, but Gunther says, no, no, no. It was okay. Cody deserved to win. Whoever wins tonight will be a tougher challenger for him. He looked at Kaiser when he brought up Sheamus. Weren't you supposed to take care of Sheamus? He looked at Ludwig Kaiser. Weren't you supposed to take care of Sheamus? Yeah, how'd that go, huh? Yeah, he's still around. Thanks. Kaiser looked away because he knew Gunther was throwing it in his face that he was a failure. Gunther said after Saturday's result, it's on him to do better. We both have to do better. Kaiser winced. He knew Gunther was mad. And Gunther came off kind of humbled. He came off kind of gracious that Cody beat him fair and square, that Damian Priest is going to be a tougher challenger than Cody Rhodes is. Gunther's a little bit behind the eight ball. He needs a little bit of a momentum boost. He knows he needs to get back to his winning ways, and I'm sure he will. Main event. Dominic Mysterio, Damian Priest, Sheamus, and Seth Rollins. This is a number one contenders match for Gunther's World Heavyweight Championship. Now, the reason why all these guys are here, if you guys missed my opening statements at the beginning of the show, Damian Priest got robbed in a number one contenders match against Dominic Mysterio last week. Dominic cheated with the help of the Judgment Day. So Dominic, even though he was the number one contender for about 7 days, Adam Pearce made the decision to say, nah, fuck that. You're going to get a redo, and so is Damian Priest, because that's not going to fly while I'm the GM. So that's why they're here. Seth Rollins beat Bronson Reed. Plus, Rollins said it's on his resume that he's a previous world champion multiple times. So what he's brought to the table is credibility to the match. And Sheamus, banger after banger after banger. We don't really need to explain why Sheamus is there. So that's why all four guys are there. Bell rings. Dominic tried to escape the other guys, but Sheamus caught him. And both Priest and Rollins watched as he delivered 10 beats of Bodrin over Dominic's chest. They all watched with glee. Very happy. So Rollins said, you know what? I had enough. He sneaks up from behind Damian Priest and tries for a shock roll-up for a two. Rollins wiped out Sheamus and Priest simultaneously with a suicide dive, hit one on Dom. And we go into a commercial break with Dominic Mysterio in control. Believe it or not. So during the break, we saw what happened when we came back from the commercial. He shoved Rollins off the top rope to the outside and shoved Sheamus into the ringside steps. Dominic hits Priest with the tornado DDT for two. He started talking trash as he punched Priest. Priest fired up. He got angered. And he comes back at Dominic. Big corner elbow, some strikes, a big flatliner. Sheamus gets back into the action. Backbreakers to Priest, Rollins, Dom. Crowd chanted for Sheamus as he hit Dominic with a diving knee drop. Rollins broke up the cover and Priest clotheslined him. And we go to a second commercial break. Another break here. How can I get invested in who's the number one contender when there's two fucking commercial breaks? Sheamus and Priest exchange strikes until Sheamus hits a white noise for a two. Dominic set up Sheamus for a 619. Sheamus hit him with a power slam. Sheamus went for a broke kick, but Rollins knocked him out of the ring with a knee strike. Rollins then gave Dom a pedigree, which was awful. Rollins delivers an awful, awful looking pedigree. Awful. He goes for a cover. He did not go for a cover. Hits the pedigree, does not go for a cover. Rollins then sets up for the curb stomp instead. But his attention turned to one Bronson Reed, who just shows up out of nowhere. He's not even in the match. He attacks Sheamus and Priest outside the ring. Rollins sees this. He goes after Reed. Reed clotheslined him and cleared the announce table. Priest and Sheamus attack Reed, who rolled into the ring. Reed fought off both men. He delivered Death Valley drivers to both guys. Reed hit tsunamis on Sheamus and Damian Priest as Dominic is watching with glee. Happy as happy could be on the outside. Reed then rolls back to the outside and then puts Rollins through the announce table as he jumps off of the barricade and delivers a tsunami through Rollins and through the table. Great sound when the table broke with Bronson Reed's massive carcass going through it. Dominic waited until Reed left to take advantage. He hit Sheamus with a frog splash. Priest barely broke up the cover. Priest is the recipient of a 619. Dominic hits the 619. He goes for a frog splash. Priest caught him out of midair and caught him in the South of Heaven chokeslam. Last ditch effort. And Damian Priest slowly goes over, puts his arm over Dominic. 1, 2, 3. And Damian Priest is the new number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. Gunther entered the ring after the match was over. They had a stare down with Priest looking at the World Heavyweight Championship, and that's the way the show came to a close. I think, honestly, after everything that we've seen on television, I don't think it was a surprise to see Damian Priest win this match and become the number one contender. Dominic was not challenging for the World Heavyweight Championship. Coming out of Crown Jewel, you saw exactly what was going to happen. Seth Rollins got the victory over Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed got up after three curb stomps. He asked for more. We all knew that he was going to show up and lay waste to Seth Rollins for revenge. So that took him out of the match. Sheamus was the only option. And Sheamus right now, I would not put him in world title contention. I would continue to build Sheamus looking strong. I would continue to build Sheamus getting victories over anybody he can. Maybe people other than Ludwig Kaiser. I would start to build Sheamus up, get him ready, get the ball rolling on him, going into WrestleMania season to challenge Bron Breakker and win the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, giving Sheamus that WrestleMania moment, giving him that title that he's never won in WWE. That's what needs to be. So outside of all that, the only guy left that made any sense was Damian Priest. He was the only one that made any sense. And we all know that he's not going to win. Finn Balor seemingly still has an issue with Damian Priest. Is he going to get involved? Is Goldberg going to get involved? I don't know. But that's the way Monday Night Raw went off the air. Again, nothing super, super, super substantial. Nothing uber important. They moved a couple of their chess pieces on the board forward towards Survivor Series with no real excitement about behind it. Hopefully when they get into Buffalo, New York next week, that there will be a different type of energy, a different sense of urgency potentially on the way to Survivor Series. We'll be live on Friday for SmackDown. We got the Bloodline saga playing out over there. What's going to be on the Survivor Series card with Cody and Randy and KO. So we got things cooking on Friday night, not so much on Monday night. But thank you guys very much for all your support. Thank you guys for following me on Twitch. We are now 8 followers away from 11,000 followers on Twitch, man. So if you guys want to go follow me on the Purple Snake. I would really appreciate that. I thought the Chamber was going to be taking place in the United Kingdom. Twitch is saying that it's going to be taking place in Canada. Is that confirmed? I don't think anything is confirmed yet. We'll see. Is it Toronto? Okay. Good. I love Toronto. I've never been, but I'd love to go. I hear you guys got a great bar scene over there. Yeah, I thought it was still the United Kingdom for whatever reason. Can't complain. Toronto's a great city. Thank you guys very much, man, for all your support. Please hit that thumbs up if you guys are still on the stream and have not hit the thumbs up, man. We are at 600 likes. I need another 150 for the goal of 750. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below on this channel. If you guys are on Twitch, please hit that follow button. A subscribe on Twitch goes a long way as well. Go check out all the other content on the channel. There is plenty of content on the channel. Live streams. Monday, Tuesday Night Titans, Wednesday's Dynamite. Which I don't know what I'm doing this Wednesday. Am I doing both NXT and AEW, or am I doing AEW Thursday and NXT Wednesday? I don't know. I do not know yet. We will figure it out together. But tonight's show is sponsored by my great friends over at Blue Chew. Does Blue Chew work is what I always get. If you're asking that question, we want to know that Blue Chew is putting their money where their mouth is by giving you 1 month free. Yes, it does work because they're giving you 1 month free courtesy of the podcast. Blue Chew is a unique online service that provides the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it comes in a chewable tablet. A chewable tablet that's made in the USA, prepared in the USA, and shipped directly to you, right to your front door. Best part, it's all done online. No doctor's office visits, no awkward conversations with strangers, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. I hate that. Man, oh man. Going to the fucking pharmacy, man, you got the old hag behind you. Will you hurry up? I gotta get my husband's penicillin. You can take them anytime, day or night. Plan ahead and be ready whenever the opportunity arises. I always say, guys, first impressions are everything. You only get one. If you guys are out on a first date and you really think that it's going to go somewhere, you want to make a great first impression, you're going to tag in Blue Chew, man. It's going to be you and Blue Chew, man. Tag team champions. Or if you want to make a lasting impression with that same person that you met for the first time, or shit, if you've been in a relationship for quite a while and you want to make a lasting impression, man, Blue Chew, where it's at, right there. Gives you that extra confidence when it counts the most. Code JD at checkout. BlueChew.com. Get 1 month free courtesy of the podcast, code JD. Make sure you guys go check them out. And I want to thank them for once again sponsoring the show right here on Off the Script. Man, you guys were slack. You guys have absolutely slacked in the super chats tonight, man. Holy shit. You guys are going to get me out of here in about 5 minutes. And I'll be back on Black Ops 6. Angela Laga with a 30 months. JD is the GOAT. Tony Khan wishes he had half of your knowledge. AEW would actually be good again. Angel, I appreciate the sentiments, brother, but I am not more knowledgeable than Tony Khan. Tony Khan is actually a human encyclopedia. Now, is he a creative genius? The answer is no. He's not. But that's why he hired wishy-washy Will Washington to tie everything together. Sounds like Will Washington is doing a piss-poor job. Michelle Moran with a $2 Super Chat. Sammy is so damn good when he is with Roman and the Usos. Absolutely. Beyond the Scripts, 36 months, 3 years. Democrats laugh at us for liking pro wrestling. We don't care. I'll never stop watching. Love you, JD. Tribal Chief with a $2 Super Chat. EO needs to win the Women's World Championship. OTS for life, pal. Hooligrim with 47 months. I sure hope this election goes smoothly. I need that Mustang emote. Thanks for all the entertainment for so many years. My hood is OTS for life. Love you, brother. Thank you, man. I may actually have to make another couple of emotes to give you guys something else to chase, man. Joseph Taylor with a $2 Super Chat. Raw was an okay episode. Sure. Adam JD 519 with 8 months. I'm coming for that golden mic and OTS for life. Thought Raw was decent considering it was a tape show. Glad Saudi season is over. Yes. Absolutely. Black Wolf Inc. with a $2 Super Chat. Looks like Sammy will be full-blown oos after all. Well, let's see what Roman has to say on Friday night. I don't think it's going to be so oosy for Sammy come Friday. Triple M. I don't know what game to grind. I'm bored of D2 and already bored of BO6. I just need a Monster Hunter. I just need Monster Hunter Wilds. Hope you have a good week, JD. Triple M, did you see that Bungie is giving out fucking dungeon grenade launchers for free? They're giving away an Envious Arsenal and Bait and Switch roll for free. Like, do I even need to grind the dungeon anymore? Kind of. I still need Icebreaker. But man, I want Cascade. I want that Cascade point roll with Bait and Switch. Which is better? for my Destiny 2 geeks out there. What's better, Cascade Point, Bait and Switch, or Envious Arsenal and Bait and Switch on that new grenade launcher from the dungeon? I don't know. I'll be on tomorrow, but I got to do my run. So if you're going to be around. Black Wolf Inc. with a $5 super chat. JD, I have a good reason why Seth won the match. He has lost all his PLE matches this year. At least Bronson Reed had an immediate rebound from said loss. What are you talking about? Seth won on Saturday. He beat Bronson Reed at the PLE. James Gender with 10 months. What's Kevin Owens going to think about Sami Zayn associating himself with the bloodline again? I don't know. We may see something on Friday, but I think Kevin Owens has got his focus on Cody and Randy. Mr. Team Bring It 1-2-3 with a 1-9 dinner. Who is the worst commentator in WWE history? It might have been Adnan Verk. Learning Tree Jericho, 8131 with a $10 super chat. Undertaker went on his podcast to call out wrestlers who don't draw and complain on Twitter about getting criticized. Dax, Janela, Family Dollar, and all the rest can kick rocks. The GOAT has your back. Well, fuck Dax, fuck Janela, and fuck Top Dollar. I don't give a fuck. All three of them can't draw a fucking dime. Mike Adamley is one of the worst as well, yes. And Joseph Taylor with a $5 super chat. The War Raiders finished JD is called War Machine. A nod to their name in Ring of Honor. There you go. Well, you guys slacked on the super chats tonight, man. I guess you were not entertained. Black Ops 6, here I come. Thank you guys very much for a great stream. Appreciate you. I'll be back with extra tomorrow for sure. You'll be seeing me in the sub boxes tomorrow. We got some things to discuss. Thank you guys for a great stream. Please hit that thumbs up. We really appreciate it. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206. Kevin Patrick is terrible too, yes. At JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Follow me on social. You guys know the deal. Go check out all the other videos on the channel, all the streams on the channel, Twitch, my family on Twitch. Thank you guys very much. We are 7 followers away from 11,000 on the Purple Snake. Appreciate you guys very much. No Tuesday Night Titans tomorrow night. Jason and I will be taking the week off due to Election Day. We'll be back next week. So if you guys are wondering where we are, that is the reason why. And I will keep you guys posted on what I'm doing on Wednesday because AEW and NXT are going head-to-head on Wednesday night. So it should be fun, man. We'll see what happens. But until then, guys, I'll see you tomorrow for some extra. Have a good night. And I'll see you guys tomorrow with more on Off the Script. We'll see you later.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Robinhood Gold provides the privileges of a high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. The new gold standard is here. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold, LLC.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.